Good morning, church. Are you happy to be in church this morning?
Yes, sir.
Ooh, that was pretty good. Yeah. Kids have a great service back there. Love the workers who work with our kids. That's what I, yeah, that's right. One time, when I was senior pastor here, I decided that one Sunday a month when one of the other pastors was speaking, I was going to do my work, do my ministry in the nursery with the babies. That, my friends, is frontline ministry, working with the babies. That's right. Like Paul said, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. That was the theme in the nursery. In a few minutes, my wife's going to come and read the word to you this morning. I think there's, 22 or 23 verses. And I'm speaking next week, too. And I said, would you read the scriptures next week? She said, sure. What's the psalm? I said, 119. 176 verses. So I said, when you say amen, I'll say you're dismissed. And we'll have our... I'll figure something out between now and then. Before we read the word, I want you to put that saying up there, would you?
Amen.
Amen. It is not the will of God if it goes against the word of God. Settle that in your hearts and in your spirits today. Amen. In a world full of lies, deceit, darkness, desperation, we need to settle that in our hearts and in our lives, the word of God. Lord, is it your will? That's why we need to know the word of God, right?
Amen.
You want to know the will of God? Know the word of God.
Amen.
So many people want to know the deep mysteries of God and the deep mysteries of his word. Listen, let's settle in our hearts the things that we need to know and understand. As Pastor Erickson, our founding pastor, used to say, you think you know the word, how are you doing with a soft answer turns away anger? If you're doing okay with that, maybe go on to the next one. God's word will bless us, strengthen us, help us. And Gina's going to come right now and read to us. You can stand if you want to. You don't need to. The reading of God's word from Psalm 103.
Thank you. The word of God is filled with his love. I know we often say something about the river of life, jumping into the river, feeling the flow. God's word is full of his love. And I pray that each of you will make it a daily, consistent time in your life to read his word. Amen. The world needs his love. Not our love. He needs his love. And when we are filled with his love, we can go out and people will be drawn to his light, walking out of darkness and drawn into his light.
Amen.
And this portion today from Psalm 103 is filled with God's love. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower on the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I declare by faith that my mind is prepared, my heart is ready, and my spirit is excited. My spirit is excited. My spirit is excited to receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. A pastor by the name of Dwayne Miller was teaching a Sunday school class back in, I think it was 1993. And he wrote a book on his experience called Out of Silence. And he was teaching a class. He had retired 3 years previous because there was a virus that had attacked his throat and penetrated the sheath that goes around his vocal cords. And it reduced his speech to a raspy whisper. He experienced firsthand the distress. In Psalm 102, which we didn't read, it's just the opposite of Psalm 103. The psalmist is talking about distress and the hurts and the all the stuff that was coming against him. It was sounded very, very discouraging. He was teaching his class on Psalm 103, and he had a special microphone that was attached right by his lips so he could be heard a little bit. And he reaffirmed his belief in divine healing and that miracles had not ended with the book of Acts. At times, you could barely understand his raspy whisper in the words of faith. And then when he got to verse 4 of the psalm that Jeannie read this morning, something happened. He said, I have had and you have had in past times pit experiences. And on the word pit, something happened. The word came out clear as a bell in contrast to all the other words that he had spoken previous to that. And he paused. He was startled. And he began again, and he stopped. And he said a few more words, all in a very normal, very clear tone, and stopped again. And the class erupted with shouts of joy and astonishment, and there was weeping. God had completely healed him as he was teaching the truth in this psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Maybe like Dwayne Miller, you've spent a lengthy amount of time in despair that the psalmist in 102 talked about. But in Psalm 103, shows you and shows me that the Lord has a deep healing to match a deep hurt in your life. It ends with the sense that God's blessings, Psalm 102, ends with the sense that God's blessings are not going to be for me. They might be for my children or my children's children and their descendants, but not for me. Psalm 103 says, God will never forget you. He'll never leave you alone. And it's no wonder that that psalm begins with gratitude. Look what the Lord has done He explains it all in verses 3 through 5. He forgives, number one. I have a little outline in the back of your bulletin. I was a high school teacher for 10 years. I can't help but do that kind of stuff. I don't care where I am, any service I'm at, any wedding, any funeral, any church service, I have to have a pencil or a pen and take notes. Helps me to focus. Number one, here are some of the benefits. He forgives. Everyone say forgives. He forgives all your sins. And it says that he forgets as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. You notice he didn't say as far as the north is from the south? You ever wonder why? Because if you go north and keep going north, eventually you're going to start going south. But if you go east and keep going east, you'll never stop going east. You'll always be going east. That's how far he washes and forgives all of your sins. Isn't that amazing? But I want you to understand something. Not every promise comes without an if. You know how many ifs there are in the Bible? 1,522. I counted them last night. I saw it in the concordance last night. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is what? Faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and purify us from some unrighteousness. Well, for most unrighteousness. It's true. From all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, God forgives our sins. Listen, we need to give our lives to Jesus Christ. We need to invite him in. If you haven't asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I encourage you, I implore you, do it today. Ask Jesus to come into your life, to forgive your sins, and let him be Lord over everything that touches and affects you. You'll never regret that decision, ever. Amen, amen, church? Yes. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace, whose grace? God's grace. We are saved through, faith, our faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's a great scripture, isn't it? It's a gift of God. Listen, when you are saved, when you were saved, you can never be more saved than the day you were saved. You understand what I'm saying? Gerald, how long have you been saved? Give me a approximate years. How many? 38 years? 38 years ago, you gave your life to Jesus Christ and you were saved. You're not more saved today than you were then. You're just as saved today as you were then. You can never be more saved than the day that you asked Jesus Christ into your life. We grow, right, in God's grace and in his knowledge. We mature, Lord willing, in our faith. But we're saved by faith. Here's an issue for some. We don't stay saved by our works either. You understand what I'm saying? We're not saved by works, and we don't stay saved by works. Now, it took me a while to grasp that truth. I don't know why. For some reason, I got a sense as a teenager growing up that, yeah, I know I'm saved by faith, but if I mess up, if I goof up, if I sin, I'm not saved anymore. That's not true. I had to come to that place. When Jesus Christ, the Bible says, comes in and saves us, God is our Heavenly Father, right? Your parents, some of you are parents. You have kids. They're your children, right? Your children are your children. They'll always be your children, won't they? Will they? What if they mess up? What if they goof up? They stop being your children? What if they do the worst of the worst? Then, that's it, they're not my children anymore. Would that happen to you? Never. God's a perfect Heavenly Father. He's a perfect Heavenly Father. That's the kind of God I want to serve. That's the kind of God I want to live for. That's the kind of God I want to be the best that I can be for His glory and for His honor. He's an amazing God and an amazing Savior. He forgives both your sins of commission and omission. God frees you to start over. There's always a starting over. If we confess our sins, I'm so thankful that God not only is a God of second chances, but third, fourth, fifth, and on, right? He continually opens up His arms to us. Secondly, He heals. Everyone say heals. Heals all your diseases. This is a sticking point for many who not yet received a healing like Dwayne did, or that this assured in this psalm. Listen, as believers in Jesus Christ, when it comes to healing, we have to take a long view of what God does in our hearts and in our lives and in our bodies when the healing doesn't happen like we think it should happen or when we think it should happen. God ultimately will heal us. This is what I've always believed. This is my thought. I think it's scripture-based. God heals one of three ways. He heals instantly. You ever been healed instantly? Some of you, sure. He heals gradually. You ever been healed gradually? Well, He heals ultimately, too. I know you haven't experienced that one yet, or you wouldn't be listening to me this morning. He'll heal you when He understands that this is the time, this is the place, this is how. And we don't worship God based on how He answers my prayers for healing. Jim Erickson's, one of his favorite songs, your founding pastor of this church, is "What a Day That Will Be." No sorrows. Do you have sorrows? Sure you do. No burdens, no sickness, no pain, no death. We all have questions. Your founding pastor, Jim Erickson, had Parkinson's disease for almost 19 years. Why wasn't he healed instantly? If you never heard him preach in his best, he was amazing preacher. The best I ever heard, as far as I'm concerned. Questions why? Why did he have to retire? Why did his voice leave him? My mother, when she was in her early 50s, had throat cancer, had her voice box and vocal cords removed. She had to kind of learn how to get some words out. She didn't use that instrument, but she learned how to breathe and swallow air, and it was a tremendous amount of work, but she was able to do it. And I asked her one time, because she was an alto voice in the choir of our church. She had a very nice voice. I said, without, if you're not able to sing, how do you worship the Lord? She said, I worship the Lord as much now as I ever did. If it doesn't come from words, it can come from here, and from here. Right? You ever heard the name Fanny Crosby? Blind from infancy. Never knew remembered sight. She wrote hundreds of hymns. All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Blessed Assurance. Near the Cross. Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Jesus is Tenderly Calling. Take the World, But Give Me Jesus. To God Be the Glory. And on and on and on. Beautiful hymns that have blessed the church and individuals for years and years, and still does. This is what she said. I thank Him for my blindness. She said, if sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept. She said, I know that the hymns that I have written were written because I had no other distractions other than to think about and meditate on Jesus. Then she said, The first thing I'm ever going to see in my life when God takes me home is the face of Jesus. Can you imagine that? What a thing to look forward to. Danny Piantin, my nephew, who was the vision behind Camp Daniel, it's going on at this very time that James and Jill were at last week, and James was the speaker and worship leader, camp for people with disabilities. He had a neuromuscular disease. Doctors said he wouldn't live past 9. He lived to 22. He was a minister with the Assemblies of God, and he was the visionary behind Camp Daniel. And I used to talk to him a lot. He said, I have a lot of questions for God. Job said he had a lot of questions for God. I have a few questions, and maybe you do too. But I have a feeling when we stand before Jesus on that day, and he says to you or me, well, Jerry, you have any questions? No, not a one. What a day that will be. Job thought he knew everything about what was going on in his life, and God gave him a test, and he failed it. God said to him, are you God? Were you there when I put all this together? No, Lord, I wasn't. I wasn't. God is committed to stamping out all disease, but in his providence, he hasn't yet banished death or the instruments of illness that can lead to that. I think we can broaden the definition here. And let's include anything that diminishes our well-being and wholeness. It can easily be a bad attitude. It could easily be an unforgiving spirit, a bitter heart, an eruptive and an angry tongue, a fundamentally flawed will that doesn't and cannot resist addictions. In Jesus, the good news of the gospel works to liberate us from all of these issues. Our actions, our words, until that happens, my prayer for you, for me, is that my actions and my words, your actions and your words, would begin to reflect that of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Number three, he redeems, it's in your bulletin, he redeems your life from the pit. That deep, dark abyss from which you cannot escape. He reaches his hand down and pulls you up out of your darkness and depression and despair, where you are imprisoned many times by that. Put your feet on the solid rock. That's why we sing that song, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. It's the ministry of Celebrate Recovery, folks. I was there Thursday night. Jeannie and I are part of that. We have some great leaders, Pastor James and others, who there was 80-plus people I counted there Thursday. Ralph gave his testimony. A few weeks back, Carol gave her testimony. My wife gave her testimony. My daughter gave her testimony. When Jesus Christ comes into their lives and changes the direction of their lives, and they come into a group like Celebrate Recovery, where they are loved and cared for and taught that whatever they're going through at that point in time, there's help. It's a safe place to be. They'll learn things about how to put some of that behind, how to take steps to move ahead in their life. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Jesus, the highest of powers, can set you free. But let's work on our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups. That's what the ministry of Celebrate Recovery is all about. Well, I don't have any hurts, habits, or hang-ups. That's an illustrative lie. Jeannie and I met a lady there a couple weeks ago. And it was her first time there, and she had a name tag on, Hope. So we introduced ourselves. I said, it's nice to meet you, Hope. She said, that's not my name. My name is Alicia. I said, really? She said, why do you have Hope on there? She said, because that's what I need tonight. That's what Celebrate Recovery does. It gives hope. It gives hope to those who are struggling in the issues of their life. If that's you, you want to go to a safe place, come on Thursday nights. Just check it out and see what the Lord will do. I guarantee you, he'll do something good. Amen? Number four, he crowns your life with love and compassion. Wow. He crowns your life with love and compassion. In heaven, there is a crown of righteousness, the Bible says, and glory that awaits you in heaven. Look at some of these verses. 2 Timothy 4:8. Now there is in store for me, you can put me, that's you, if you're a child of God, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. You ever gone through a trial? Are you going through a trial? Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. One more. 1 Peter 5. And when the chief shepherd, everyone say chief shepherd, that's Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So right now, what kind of crown does God want you to wear? I think he wants you to wear a crown of love. A crown of compassion. Crown of forgiveness. Crown of hope. Crown of faith. Crown of patience. Should I stop preaching? Crown of joy. That's what he wants for you and me. He'll help us with that. And then we'll receive those other gifts. Listen, let other people, let the world seek the crowns of success or riches or power. God has a better gift for you, both now and in the life to come. Hallelujah. Number five, he satisfies your desires with good things. I think that's the principal horror of depression, is the lack of hope. But God, friends, listen to me. God is committed to bringing good into your life, no matter what. And the subtlety of temptation is that it tries to lure you to believe that you are headed down into the pit of never being fulfilled if you obey God. If you obey God, it's just nothing. No, the opposite is true. Psalm 16:11, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I guarantee you there is no disappointment in Jesus Christ. He'll never disappoint you. Amen. The world will continually disappoint you, but God never will. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Finally, number six, he renews your life like the eagles. Trap an eagle in confinement to a dark cage, he won't live long. An eagle lives best when it flies free. You're no different. And that's why the Lord has provided all his benefits. Verse 2, for all the oppressed, God has no pets. He is not a respecter of persons. His favor applies to all who call on him. There is no Christian, there is no saint who God loves and cares for more than you. Isn't that amazing? Now what about Billy Graham? He's a brother in the Lord, right? He's in heaven now. By the way, the Bible refers to you as a saint. You don't have to do something amazing in this world to be named a saint by some group. Saint Jerry. Even though he doesn't always act like a saint. You're a saint. Listen, God sees the best in you. His plans for you are awesome. And it's always the best. Never to hurt you, never to harm you, always to help you, always to prosper you. Follow God's plan. Follow His Spirit. Follow His Word. You will never go wrong. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. Well, what's our basis for confidence? How can we be sure that God is like this? Well, we have the record of generations to whom He has revealed Himself. So Paul is saying to these believers, look at all the things that God has done in the past. Look at what the Scriptures say about the blessings and all of these things, how He's helped Israel. And then look at what He's done for you. That's part of the beauty of the Word. That's the beauty of God's promises. We can see how He fulfilled these promises here. He's going to fulfill the promises for you in your life if you will allow Him to do so. And if that's not enough to convince you, He talks about God's tender parenting. He loves like a perfect parent. He cares. He restores. He picks us up. He never throws us aside. He is a good God all the time. Amen? All the time. Serve Him. Love Him. And understand how He sees you. If you could just get a glimpse in your spirit and soul and see yourself the way God sees you, it would lift you up. And it would bless you and motivate you. Lord, help us to see that now. We have those generations. You know what God's done for you in the past. He's done good things. And He's working good things out for you now. And I can assure you by the power and the authority of God's Word, He is going to help you every step of the way till the last step that you take in this life. Because the Lord reigns. It's the last one. Because the Lord reigns, your life has a fixed center of stability. You're stable in Christ. And you're not going to be thrown aside. Is it any wonder that the psalm starts with praise the Lord? It ends with praise the Lord. You know what? Your founding pastor, I've talked a little bit about him today. First words I ever heard, Jim Erickson, the founding pastor of Living Hope Church, my wife's father and my father-in-law, first words I ever heard him say was praise the Lord. He came to the church that I was attending. He stood up and gave a testimony. His first words were praise the Lord. And the last words he ever spoke on this earth, at least that I heard, was praise the Lord. That's what I want in my life. I want a lot of praise the Lord's in between, too. God help us to just understand in a clear way how God sees us and let that motivate us to share Christ with every opportunity that He puts in our path. Amen, church? Amen. Bow your heads, would you? Pastor James, would you come and lead us in a song? We'll close here in just a few minutes. But again, I know some of you, God's brought so many new people in this church. It's wonderful. It's amazing. I'm thankful for it. There's probably a whole bunch of you never heard me preach. Before today. But if you have, you know that this is how I end the service. I don't ever want anyone to ever say they never had a chance to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says you believe, receive, and confess His name, and you'll be saved. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, if this were your last day on earth, you have no assurance at all that your next breath would be in heaven with Jesus Christ. But you want that assurance. You want to ask Jesus into your life today, and you'd like me to remember you as I close the service, I'd be happy to do so. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand until I see it, and I'll acknowledge it, and then you can put your hand down. It's going to be very short. I'm not going to wait very long. Yeah, I see your hand. God bless you. Thank you. It's between you and God, but I'd like the privilege of praying for you. Anyone else? Over here? Yes. Yeah, I see that hand. Thank you. I'm going to wait 15 more seconds, and I'm going to move on. 10 more seconds. I'm going to say, Pastor Jerry, listen, I had that psalm. Kind of spoke to me. I'm more like Psalm 102 right now, really going through discouraging times, some hard times, some difficult times, times that have made me wonder, where is God and what is He doing? And has He forgotten? Does He not know? But I heard the word this morning, and I just would like a prayer for that just deep reassurance of God's presence in my life. That He knows what He's doing and that I can trust Him with everything that's happening. You'd like me to remember you in prayer. I just ask you to raise your hand. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, God, help me. Lord, strengthen me. Yeah, hands going up all over. Yeah. Here today that did not have a good earthly father. And they've struggled with the whole concept of you being a good father. Lord, I pray that the eyes of understanding, the hearts would be opened to receive that truth. You are a good father, and your plans for us are good. And for those, Lord, that wanted to receive you this morning, not only as their Savior, but also as their Lord, just to understand that just deep within they can say, Father God, forgive my sins. Come into my life. I confess you as my Lord today and as my Savior today. And I receive that beautiful gift of salvation and the beautiful assurance of eternal life forever with you in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for saving and restoring. And I pray, Lord, that the word today would be encouraging to each one who has struggled with where they are at. Discouragement, depression, sickness, alienation, rejection. Lord, everything that we can bring to you and ask, Lord, that you would just touch and restore and refresh and bless. And open up our eyes of our understanding, Lord, to the wonderful plans. Lord, we truly believe the best is yet to come. We do, Lord. And I pray that our eyes would be open to see it today and tomorrow and every day for the rest of our life. And to show us, Lord, opportunities that we can share your love and your truth with others that you put across our paths. Lord, we love you. We're thankful to you. And like the psalmist, we say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering this morning. He deserves it for those that came. Thank you, Lord.